from the Reb Noach's 48 ways, way number eight. It would have been nice to do eight on Chanukah, but it happened now. And finally, we're up to joy. Constant joy. So let's see what Reb Noach says about constant joy. Again, if we learn these 48 ways, these are the 48 ways to acquire Torah. So let's see what it says.
You'll be singing Mitzvah Gedol
Aleihoy. He has in here, actually, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. He does quote, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha.
I don't think it's a mitzvah. It's not one of the
613. To be B'Simcha? It's not one of the 613?
I heard,
okay.
I heard somewhere. No, it's a means to do...
Right. Mitzvah Gedol Aleihoy B'Simcha is by Reb Nachman, actually, which is just recently. And Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha is in the... is in Tehillim.
Oh, yeah?
So that's in Tehillim. It might not be one of the 613 mitzvahs, but it is in Tehillim. But it does say in the Torah that you should love Ahavta Es Hashem. There is something about Simcha. I want to look back and I'll get back there. I'm going to make a note of it. So let's go and see what Reb Noach says about Simcha. Joy gives you the power, motivation, and confidence to achieve things that otherwise seem too difficult to attempt. Better than a granola bar, which I've stopped by having, I won't say I have an aversion to, but I've had it. I used to eat granola bars, but I haven't. Joy is pure energy. So joy is pure energy. We can all understand that. It's clear. Do you remember the thrill of hitting a home run? Getting out on the last day of school, it's probably...
I used to cry.
Really? You were the goody-goody in class? Really? It's a girl thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the guys.
My students used to cry.
Really?
Yeah.
The boys cry the last day of camp. The last day of school. It's true. The last day of school is just, we are ready to get out of there. That's the best parts of being in school. Riding your new bicycle, you jump with joy. Fantastic. Joy gives you energy and makes you feel great. You can achieve all kinds of things that otherwise may seem too difficult to attempt. With joy, you're not afraid to talk to the guy sitting next to you on the plane. No problem. You've got energy, buoyancy. You're alive. Way number eight, which is what we're in tonight, is besimcha, which means with joy. Some people may have more natural joy. We see that around. But joy can be studied and mastered like any other tool. Again, you see this, if you would ask somebody on the street, can joy be mastered? They would say, no, this person is a joyful person, and this person is a bitter person. What he's teaching us here, again, consistent, many of these emotion type of feelings, we can master. It's so clear. Every one of these is a masterpiece. When you have joy, you can do anything better, stronger, faster. Your memory is better. Your drive on the golf course is better. Your sales pitch is better. Everything's better. You're not reaching your potential unless you have joy. A pro athlete, no matter how many times he steps up to the plate, still needs a thrill from the pitch, the swing, the fresh spring air, the cheering crowd. Why? Because otherwise his game is flat. He's playing by rote. You play by rote, you don't excel. It's the same in life. When you have joy, you live in with a different verve. Joyous people are energetic and ambitious. There's never enough time to do everything you want to do. So whether you're studying, touring, working, or relaxing, first get into a state of joy. It will give you a boost of power and confidence. Right, so now is exactly what we're talking about. Take a look at the next line. Counterfeit joy. So we could put in the margins like dope. Counterfeit joy. What's counterfeit joy? Remember when your home team won the World Series, the city erupted in energy and euphoria and thousands took to the streets, but in the end there was violence and destruction and arrests. We read that. Is that what joy is supposed to produce? Did those people have joy or didn't they? So what is it? You see, people seem to be happy. What went wrong? The answer is it wasn't joy. It was hysterical delusion. Learn to differentiate between real joy, which generates, and I underlined here, the power to accomplish. When you have real joy, it gives you power, good power, power to accomplish, and illusory joy, whose burst of energy fades into a letdown. That's important. Oh,
right.
When you accomplish, you may get joy. That's true. That's true. That's true. When you accomplish, you can get joy.
Right. Here it says joy brings you accomplishment.
Right. That was a discussion, actually, as he's going to say here later. In other words, Tony Robbins, Reb Tony Robbins, who happened to be the top motivational speaker in the world, again, secular speaker, he has a whole issue of getting into state, getting into emotion. And I saw, again, Lahavdil in Newsweek this week, There was some writer was saying that he was disagreeing with that. And it's funny, Reb Noach is discussing it. Reb Noach is holding like Tony Robbins. Very good, thank you. Tony's holding like Reb Noach. But what this person was saying, which is truth to it too, but he was taking it to the other angle, he says, what do you need to get in an emotional state? Even if you're not in the mood to do something, do it. Even if you're not in the mood, do it. Forget your emotional state. So when I was reading the article during the week, it made a lot of sense. But now that I'm reading this, no, the other person, Tony Robbins, was saying, even if you're not in the mood of doing something, this other, in other words, he said everybody's spending, all of these motivational consultants are spending so much time getting people into a state of happiness and joy and power and energy. And this writer was saying, who cares? Even if you're not in a state of power, just do it. Okay, just get the job done.
You can't sit around and wait, oh, I'm not in the
right.
Mood.
Okay. Right, exactly. And I use that too. So you don't think those are contradictory? In other words, he was attacking the method of getting into a state of simcha or joy and all of that. He was saying, forget all of the energy and the billions of dollars we're spending on getting people to do. Get the job done, and whether you like it or not. You're adding that. He didn't say that. But it's interesting, all of these topics over here are, joy is a multi-billion-dollar industry. This is what people are spending. Most of us in the United States are walking around depressed. What we're getting here from Noach again, and hopefully we'll get it again from today, is how do we get there? So let's see. So counter for joy, we see, is just hysterical delusion. Learn to differentiate between real joy, which generates the power to accomplish, and illusory joy. What is illusory joy? Look at this. It's New Year's Eve. Taka, look at this the day after. Illusory joy is New Year's Eve, and you celebrate all night long. The world is perfect, and I love everyone. That's a quote that he quotes. But there's a letdown. More than any other day, New Year's Eve has the highest rate of suicides. I didn't know that. People who win the 100...
I don't know if it's a letdown by the people who are joyous. I think it's the people who can't be joyous and who are all alone that probably also commit suicide.
Yes, that's true.
Not so much the ones who are out reveling with their friends or whatever.
I don't know.
That's true. Right.
Everyone's out and you're stuck at home. All these holidays. Valentine's Day is a big
one. Wait a minute. What about Jewish holidays? Somebody who's alone? Hard it is when young
when
to
every
come,
family, right. The family
and for whatever reason, whether it's a child that's not there anymore, a child that's
right, it is. So let's see how we can get there. People who win the $100 million lottery jump with joy, please. Yeah,
except by the Grisha holiday, have this hoopla.
We don't have that, right?
It's true. The contrast isn't so great of being alone and being out. Singing and dancing and yelling and screaming. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's not fun for a person who's a shaman that's supposed to be sitting alone on a family chat, but the contrast.
Right. Okay. That's true. People who win the $100 million lottery, Amir Tashem, by all of us here, jump with joy. What is their anticipation? So they got the money.
I think everything's going to be fine.
Right. Right, that's Taka true too. To travel around the world, to be important. Now I'm going to do whatever I feel like for the rest of my life. I am free, a master of my fate. No more work, no more worries, no problems, no nothing, $100 million. He has other problems. Will that sensation last? No. You know you can have tons of money and be thoroughly?
Miserable.
2 points, miserable. The lottery winner may not know what he wants to achieve with his life, so the joy is an illusion. After a year, he's back in university. Those are the good guys, by the way. The $100 million university student. Why? Maybe philosophy will interest me. Again, I remember Rabbi Frankel said at YSV, somebody else said at YSV. If you look, and I just heard on a CD again today, a Rav Ashkenazi, who I've been enamored with, a Sfaradi, Rav, who speaks a lot to the non from Sfaradim. He's talking about Shidduchim. I think it's Ashkenazi. It's a common. It's a common. I believe so. I think his name is Ashkenazi. Ashkenazi or Goldberg? I don't remember. I think it's. I'll look at it. It's in my car. So, and I heard this other Rav saying that if you look at it, and we mentioned this a few times in the classes. Look at the most successful people in the secular world, Hollywood, fame, money, everything. And 9 out of 10 of them are on drugs. 9 out of 10 of them are miserable.
Right.
They're miserable. It isn't just by chance.
Right.
It's because they're missing the whole point.
They have money to buy it.
They what?
They have money to buy it.
They have money to buy
it. Clients don't have money to buy it, but right.
They're still miserable.
Right, right.
It's better to be miserable with money than without.
I won't argue with that. I don't need to put it on tape. Mm-hmm. I won't argue with that, but these people have money, and the 9 out of 10 of them are miserable because they're missing the whole point of life. Joy isn't silly drunkenness, playing jokes, or making fun of people. Joy is the deep happiness that comes with fulfilling your potential. Again, joy is the deep happiness that comes with fulfilling your potential. If you know what you want out of life, then you can go after it even without $100 million. A shot of joy and you're ready to go. Do you see how this is powerful living? Again, that's key. That's key. Again, you see, we mentioned, look at all, there's so many people that have no money, they can't put in, they're very happy. And most of the people with money are not happy because they're focused on the materialism. So they're focused on, again, what they don't have. I'm surprised because when I looked this over, Rav Noach didn't, and he's the definition, and it's one of the few definitions I do remember. We spoke about happiness. Joy is the anticipation. Joy is the anticipation of the emotional pleasure you'll get from what you focus on what you have. Again, happiness and joy. Happiness is emotional pleasure when you focus on what you have. So I have this, I have hands, I have eyes, I have feet, I have whatever I have, family, whatever it is. So happiness is the emotional pleasure one takes when I focus on what I have. Not on the X amount of things that I don't have. That's why all the rest of the world is miserable. Because I don't have this and I don't have that. But they have this and I'm focused on it. So happiness is emotional pleasure when you focus on what you have. What's joy? What's the difference? Joy is the anticipation of the happiness that you're going to have. I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks. What am I enjoying now? It's freezing out here. I'm not. I'm saying it's freezing here right now. But you can have simcha, an enjoyment, an emotional pleasure right now, being in a prison, Loyalino, being in the cold weather, being in a bed. Because you know, in 2 weeks. Exactly.
Like the beach or whatever.
And so joy is the anticipation and happiness is the now. So that's what we're talking about here, joy. We can spend our whole life in joy. You can get joy out of a good ring, out of a good phone ringer. Please send regards. The pleasure of growth. It used to be when they wanted to show euphoric joy in a movie, a man would be told he had a new son. He'd dance up and down, delirious with joy, running down the street, sticking cigars into horses' mouths. Today, when the doctor tells him he has a son, he starts thinking about all the problems. Late-night feedings, like how many guys are doing late-night feedings. Saving for college, tuition, what happened to the joy? What happened to the joy? I remember there's a joke that we say. You know the joke, this is a joke. One of my in-laws' friends said they came up with this joke, but it's got to be older than that. So there's a husband and wife, and they say, okay, we have the baby. And the wife says, okay, we can't do this. So he says, you know what, we're going to split. This week is going to be your week, and next week will be my week. We have a deal, and we'll do to get up to the baby, taking care of the baby. Anyway, the wife wakes up the first week, 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5, the whole week. Finally, next Sunday, she's thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he's up, and it's nighttime. She's sleeping, and she's hearing the baby screaming and crying, and she says, Yanko, what are you doing? Get up to the baby. He said, listen, you did it your way. I'm going to do it my way. Okay, so that's... you can imagine how long she stayed in bed then. Okay, so that's...
training the kid.
Right, training the kid. Let him cry until he falls asleep. So what do we see over here? True joy comes from the pleasure of growth and self-actualization when we conquer a difficult challenge or experience a moment of clarity. Again, a word that Rav Noach uses all the time. When your team wins the World Series or when you win the lottery, the joy is the delusion. Why? Because you did not change or grow. There's nothing to focus on. So my team won. It's all narishkeit. And I always said with sports, I like to play sports, but to watch 12 other guys having a great time for 3 hours, it never didn't do it for me. It's not doing so. I'm happy. Rav Noach is giving me the validation over here.
They make a lot of money. They need to change the ball.
Right, you don't need to be smart, right? They're given a gift.
They're smart enough to do something stupid and get all
that money. Right, right.
They're stupid. We work so hard, we don't get the money.
And we all go and we cheer. They are not me.
That's right. Joy cannot result from events, from good things happening to you. It can't happen that way. It's not the good things that happen to me. Joy is solely the result of your reaction to life, your commitment to turning every moment into a growth experience. A new baby means you have to extend yourself at all hours of the night and the day. That's not easy, but if you focus even at 3 a.m., you'll recognize this as a real joy. Do significant things and you'll have more joy. If you're fighting for a cause, you're making an impact on the world, you're heavy, you're eternal. Find your cause, whatever it is, and work at it. In Jewish consciousness, serving Hashem is the ultimate cause. Again, so it's the pleasure of growth. That's what this paragraph tells. Again, pain and pleasure. We remember we spoke about it a bunch of times in the past, pain and pleasure? We spoke about pain. What's the opposite of pain? So what's the typical answer?
It's not pain.
Very good. Most people say, okay, you were listening, it's wonderful. Most people say pleasure, and that's what Renoir said is the definition of decadence. The opposite of pain is no pain. So comfort, which is comfort. But pleasure isn't the opposite of pain. Pleasure takes hard work. Pleasure takes hard work. But we all know ourselves, when we do that difficult thing, we have pleasure. Okay. Internal and external. Judaism has a principle called chitzonius me'orer pnimiot. What does that mean?
The external
awakens the internal. This means it's possible to develop an emotional state by acting as if you're already in that state. It's like the clothing we wear. Why does a yeshiva boy or yeshiva girl have to dress a certain way? I can dress any way I want. I believe in Hashem. I'm going to be close to Hashem. That's not the way it works. When you dress a certain way, whether it's putting on a uniform for work or putting on a suit when you go to a wedding or dressing like a fine yeshiva boy, yeshiva girl, you change. The chitzonius. It's not true? I'm giving you the mic.
Have you not read the paper or listened to the radio, the way certain people dress and they still don't behave in a certain way?
Yeah, that's certain people.
But everything is certain people.
Right. Again, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Imagine if all of us didn't wear. Who knows how crazy the world would be.
I don't know.
Okay, you disagree with that too?
Without dressing, you don't have Torah at all?
No, in other words,
I happen to disagree about, excuse me, with you, because these are norms that we decided that this is how a yeshiva boy has to dress. Now, you can have a really firm person that might wear a light blue shirt, or a striped shirt, or a polo shirt, or kippah suga, and be erlich afrim. But we put on these
I'm not talking about blue shirt. I'm wearing a blue shirt. I am wearing a blue shirt. I'm not talking about the blue shirt or the, but I'm talking about if somebody's not dressed dressed properly.
No, they're talking about torn jeans or something.
Right, so that's what we're talking about.
Right. Make a statement.
Right. Everybody's respected. So Mizrahi will dress a certain way, Satan will dress a different way, but everybody has to dress in an appropriate way. That's how. So this means it's possible again to develop an emotional state by acting as if you're already in that state. Again, when you put on your Shabbos clothes, you feel different. That's just the bottom line. When you put on a suit and a tie or a nice dress for a woman, then you feel different.
Well, you do act.
Right, you do.
See, when a boy puts on a suit, that means when they carry him out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, they act differently.
Gets dressed, you know.
Right, we get dressed every week.
I'm dying to dress nicely.
Yeah. Everybody's dying to get in there. For example, studies show that smiling when you're sad can improve your mood. This is a direct correlation between activating the physical muscles and your emotional state. Do things that require joy and you become more joyful. For example, 2 points Neiman, wear nice clothing. It doesn't say designer, it says nice. Eat delicious food. Sing, take a long walk on the beach, think positive thoughts, spend time with friends, do kindness for others. I started that. It's so true. When you're focusing on other people and doing good, when you give, you get.
You get tired.
You get tired. We're all getting tired. Ponder how great it is to be alive. Call your parents and thank them for giving you life. All of these things. Again, remember, I reiterate. Rav Noach Weinberg was brilliant. He could have been the top Rosh Yeshiva. You read this again, you think, like I say this every other shiur, come on, this is simple stuff. The simplest things very often are the most impactful. This is so simple. It's a joke. You read any paper. the simplest things. If we do this, that's what I'm saying. If you do this, you will have a totally different life. Remember where it's coming from. Remember where this is all based on the Torah.
Derech Hashem too, right? Rather than how it's written, so simple. What is this?
Right, it's a joke.
It's not like Shimshon Raphael Hirsch where you need to, you know, you go through your paragraph, it's 3 pages long or something.
Right. It's the simplest thing. I gave somebody a ride today, Taka. I gave somebody a ride in New from he was walking in the cold. So he said, what did he say again? He quoted me, there was a sefer from the brother. I wrote it down. From the brother of the Maharal, I wrote it down. And he was saying also very, he said, it's genius, but it's the simplest things. Okay. Once you feel joy, channel it in a productive direction. Don't just sit back and bathe in the joy. You have the energy to go out and do something fantastic, help someone in need, or tackle a job you couldn't face. Again, notice how he focuses again, help somebody in need. Noisei ba'olam chabero. That is the game changer. There are so many people that are in desperate need as we speak. We all have our own issues, but the way Ein Hachavush Moitzi Esa'atzamim Beis Ha'asurim. What does that mean? Again, like I might have mentioned before, that's such, right, again, I can't, again, like I said, sometimes, again, like I said that story, Rabbi 41 told me, somebody came to my door, I wanted to give him my resume, he was so dynamic, he was great, he was speaking, but he couldn't make a nickel. Some people can't lift the safer and move it here. They can't move it, they can't do it. It's just, they have lead hands, as Rabbi 41 told me, because I had this discussion with him years ago. Some people can't do it, we have our own issues, spend our time helping other people. The joy of potential pleasure. One way to increase joy is to anticipate the pleasure coming your way, which is what he really said is the definition of joy. When you anticipate something beautiful, you are more likely to see it as beautiful, and the joy of it will be more galvanizing, more exciting, more real. It is so true. By the way, if you keep saying to yourself about this, that this person is a good person, or that my situation is great, that whatever it is, that my situation is great, it will be great. Again, of course, within reason.
If you're disappointed, you might build up your expectations.
But I'm saying, even right now, the situation. Again, assuming if you can hear, see, walk, the thing I have, I can see. So it's worth $1 million. Focus on what I can do. Focus on what you have. That's the whole key to all of this. Hooray! We're going to the circus today. We'll have a grand time. You feel joy by expressing the anticipation. Okay. The implication is profound. If you constantly anticipate pleasure, you can constantly be in a state of joy. For example, today's a new day. What do you anticipate? Who will you meet today? Who will you encounter? What will you encounter? What will you achieve? Today is going to be a great day. Use this anticipation to energize you. You're going to work today. Don't focus on the negatives. My boss is impatient. Don't focus on that. Rather, stick to the positives. I'll accomplish something productive. I'm going to earn money to pay my bills. That's
if the computer works.
If the computer works. If it works, and you then move on to something else. You can be disappointed. And life, as we're going to see in a minute, is full of disappointments. All of life is full of challenges and disappointments. That is life. But we can be happy with all the disappointments by focusing on all the good that we have. Use this tool for everything. Are you going to a museum today? What do you expect to gain? Articulate the benefits and the pleasures before and that will give you constant influx of joy. State of mind. We're up to the paragraph of state of mind. Many people don't experience joy because they take life for granted, which is most of humanity. That is until they almost die. Someone who survives a car crash never lives the same again. Or someone who had cancer, Laura Lane, who is dismissed from the hospital with a clean bill of health, he or she bounces around telling everyone how wonderful life is. You know why? Because I'm alive. People think the person's crazy. Nobody should be that happy unless you won $1 million, but they're wrong. Appreciate what you have. Hashem created us for pleasure. What is the pleasure of being alive? Again, every other share, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mind. Learn to feel that pleasure. It will be with you always wherever you are. You could change on a dime. With this, you could change on a dime. You could change. You could be depressed. If we work that muscle, if somebody really works it, the most depressed person can change in a minute. Again, you have to be open.
Yes, I think the older you are, you see what can really happen to you. Appreciate the good things you have.
Right. Happiness is not a happening. Happiness is a state of mind. You can have everything in the world and still be miserable. Or you can have relatively little and feel unbounded joy. Learn the pleasure of just being, the simple joy of being alive. Then you have a basis to become more and more and more. Otherwise, it's just a sensation, a dream, an illusion. What will a new car give you? What will $1 million give you? You know what it's going to give you? It will give you a way of running from life. I'm going to focus on my car for 3 weeks, and then you get bored of it. To dream, to be comfortable. That's not the point. Natural conditions. So Rav Noach is saying here, joy is a natural human condition. Children have it. Look at children. They could have zero money, and they're happy. Children have it, and
they don't have the problems. They don't have to pay for it.
Right, but some children don't have. Some children could live in a hut, and they're happy. Again, some children around the world, they're naturally happy, even if they're in a hut.
If they were starving, they wouldn't be happy.
If they're in America and they're seven and they've already been affected by the materialism here, then they won't be happy. But if they're in Nigeria or any other third world country, a child with nothing is happy. Again, if they can't eat, then they're not going to be happy. But if they have bread and water, they will be happy.
They don't have so many external expectations.
Right. Children have it and enjoy life in its simplest form, a carrot, a ball, the moon. But we adults learn to be miserable. Isn't that profound how he says it? We learn to be miserable because everybody else near us is miserable, so we become miserable. The reasons for joy haven't disappeared. It's just that the burden of daily responsibilities distract us. Become conscious of the beauty of every moment. Focus on your underlying natural state of joy, even amidst the mundane issues of daily life. Notice how he said, our natural state is joy. Because if you don't have the sense that life is good, then underneath it all, you have nothing. That's why the morning davenings begin with a series of blessings, thanking Hashem for the simple and the obvious. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me life. Thank you, Hashem, that I can see. Thank you, Hashem, I can use my hands and feet. Thank you, Hashem, that I can think. The brachas in the morning, by the way, if you focus on it, and now I'm going to high because I've been doing it at least the past little while, it's a game changer. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, Hashem nasan lasech mivino lahavchin bin yom le'olam. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, Hashem melech haolam, Hashem and Elokeinu. It says in the Shulchan Aruch again, you could focus on every word. Hashem means Adon. Adon is a master. I'm focusing on Hashem, Adon the master. And also the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch says that I think, Hoya, Hoiva, V'yia. What does that mean? So you're already, I'm standing, or we're standing in front of Hashem. Bless you, Hashem. Hashem means the master. Okay, he's the master of the world. He was, he is, and he will be Elokeinu. Elokeinu is a Lashon Midas Hadin, of judgment. He has the Echolas, as the Mechaber writes. He has the ability. He has the control. So if you get into that, Hashem nasan lasech vivina lahavchim b'nyom b'in lola, Hashem, now it's morning, or about to be morning. I had the knowledge, because Hashem put it in me, to differentiate between night and day. And then prokeach ivrim. And then
isn't that the rooster?
You can translate rooster, but also means the two meanings to it. It means rooster and also lasechvi, also to the understanding. I have a cousin who used to be the head of the Chevra Kadisha Natanya. He is a sanz, a chassid. And when I get up to the following bracha, every bracha which I try to do, I have somebody or something in mind. So if you look at the brachas over here, first Asher Elias Ani Goy, and he didn't make me a servant. And Pakeach Ivrim, I can see. So it's simple to think, somebody who can't see. Then it says Matir Asurim, who unbounds the people that are in. Again, we have Jonathan Pollard for 25 years. He's been sitting in jail. It's unspeakable. Right, it's unspeakable, and now with Rubashkin, who was a massive Bach Hesed. So when we're saying this, Hashem, thank you first of all, but I can get in my car and get over here.
Well, what do and they do when they daven?
Okay, you have to be.
What does a blind person do when they daven?
I don't know. I'm assuming I should look it up and think. I'm going to write it down. I'm assuming. Right, he's thanking that Hashem that other people can. That's a great question. I bet you it's Chazal speaks about if somebody's blind if he makes the Pekiah Chivrim. Right, because the rest of the world. And they can turn on the light for me, that kind of thing.
If someone was in prison and they said Matin Rasulim, that they would feel hopeful that Borsham could save them.
And
he does it because it says he does it.
Right.
If you're sitting there for 25 years, you get a little bit nervous.
Okay, that's right. So the next one is what I was getting to. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Zokef Kefufim. So who's thinking about the Zokef? He extends, he makes the people stand upright. Okay, big deal. I'll tell you the big deal. If you have a bad back, if you have a back problem, my cousin, who's maybe 50 now, this is how he walks. I'm not exaggerating. He's like this. I saw him a few years ago. Like this. Something happened with his back. He went to doctors all over. When he sits in a car, Baruch Hashem, then he's able. When he sits down, he looks because his feet are bent.
Where does he live?
But he lives in Netanya. He lives in Netanya. Okay, if you give me a doctor. Again, it's worth a shot. I should really check into this. So
I met an outstanding orthopedic doctor who was an out-of-the-box doctor. He was very experienced, he was elderly. I met him in the book that he wrote, and the things that he wrote in it.
Okay, please give me the name. Who knows? Maybe that's why we started this.
If she should do exercise. I know somebody. She should do exercise in the water.
I just assumed. I didn't get involved. I'm assuming he did everything. Please, 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 please. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Halavai. 9. Can I give it to you? Okay. 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 914. I'll try. 9.
I can't get this pen to work.
You've got a cap.
You'll take the cap off.
Yes, I know. Fooled me too. I spent time.
914-260-8875. So, Viter, if you master the art of noticing, appreciating, consciously enjoying what you already have, then you will always be happy. You heard that? If you master the art of noticing, people don't notice. You don't notice. You notice, appreciate, and consciously enjoying what you already have. These are 10 underliners. Then you will always be happy. That's the whole class. We can stop the 48 ways right here. If you focus on what you have, then you'll be happy. Fine, because it's as easy as that. Beyond this, when we are joyous, and Hashem is joyous, so to speak, and showers us with blessing. Ivduas Hashem b'simcha, right? Mitzvah gedol liyos b'simcha, as Rav Nachman says. In other words, if we take pleasure in what Hashem has given us, again, it's typical like the parent. The parent is happy. If the kid is happy with what you get, what he has, then you want to give more. If the kid's miserable, oh, $100 isn't enough. You don't want to give anything. That's why David HaMelech said, serve Hashem with joy, which in Hebrew means? Ivdu es Hashem, b'simcha. Hashem doesn't want any glum-faced people around. It's our obligation. It's a mitzvah to be happy, even if it hurts. Conversely, the Torah says we will be punished because you did not serve us with joy. That's the pasuk I'm talking about. Tachas, 2 points, Nima, that I remembered, partially. Tachas, asher lo yavadetas Hashem b'simcha. So it's like a negative. It's maybe not one of the 613, but something tells me it is. Something tells me, thanks. Something tells Tachas, you know why we were punished? Because we didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. That's a reason to be punished? The answer is Y-E-S. We're not grateful. If you don't serve Hashem b'simcha, that's the key. That is the key. Okay, Viter, you can do every mitzvah under the sun, serve your parents, help humanity, but if you don't do it with joy, Hashem is going to hold you accountable because He wants you to have the maximum pleasure. You don't enjoy your hands and feet, you don't think the world is beautiful, you're serving the wrong Hashem, He will take it away. Watch out. Take things in stride. We're almost finished. A couple of stars on this one. Beyond this, approach even your troubles with joy. Now we're up to class 103. Till now we were doing like the easier stuff. You have to approach even your troubles with joy. How? You're going to ask. Focus on them as opportunities for growth, challenges to help build character. By definition, as I said earlier, life has its challenges. Are those challenges going to raise your level of joy or diminish your level of joy? If you let the things get to you, your joy will evaporate. When you find yourself worrying over a problem, ask yourself, is it worth all the negative energy? The choice is yours. The Archos Sadikim, which is one of the famous Moser Sfarim that they learn in Yeshiva, says, joy dwells in a person's heart when the person doesn't focus on troubles. If you can focus away from the troubles, the natural condition is joy. There's a difference between concern and worry. This was a great paragraph. I started this one too. Worry means your problems consume you, even when you can't do anything to solve them. Concern, end quote, means you pay attention to problems, but you look for solutions. But you don't come depressed by them. We all have concerns. We have things to take care of. There are issues. There are concerns. But I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to agonize. Be concerned with it. We have issues.
Some things you can't just always tell certain people who are perseverating over nonsense and get themselves crazy and too right. If you can't do anything about it, don't waste your energy. You do the best that you can.
Right.
And come on.
Come on. That's what we said again, and I tried this also. Rav Noach said in an earlier lecture, instead of agonize, somebody says, I'll think about it, most people say, I'm going to agonize over it. He said, simple, write down the list. Again, this is olive based, but the whole planet doesn't do it. Write down the pros, write down the cons. Of course, if a pro is on a higher level than a con, then give 3 points to this pro and 1 point to that con. Add it up, and finished. Itaka tried it once a few weeks ago, and it worked. Halabai, I should do it the rest of my life. But we agonize on things. Yeah, you got to know your math. That's true. Don't suffer from nagging parents, from wanting children, an insufferable boss, lousy employees, and unreasonable professors. Even in sad or painful times, accept them as reality. Don't give up until you find something positive to focus on. Count your blessings. So what if your children are crying? It's a good sign. They're alive and kicking. When you have joy, you are a problem solver, not a problem sufferer. Imagine you own a business and a customer comes in to complain. If you're miserable, he's going to walk out miserable too. You think you're going to get the sale? And the next day, he'll be picketing in front of your door. What if, heaven forbid, somebody has a tragedy? The Kaddish prayer recited after death of a close relative is not a davening for the dead, but rather an affirmation that life is gorgeous. If you look at the words after class, you'll see what I mean. Beautiful, fantastic. You're praising Hashem. You're not supposed to jump into the grave after the dead. Romeo and Juliet is not the Jewish way. The greatest tribute we can pay to somebody departed is to affirm the meaning and joy of life itself. That's the purpose of death, to get us to appreciate the meaning of life, because we all know the Gansa planet, do you know that? Every single one of the people on this planet right now, it's mama's crazy, in 120 years won't be here anymore. It's crazy. Every single person won't be here. So death is the biggest, because if we thought we'd live to 2,000 years, we wouldn't do a thing. You have to take that and use it as energy.
You know what? I just like to have this idea. I once met somebody who was a business associate of my ex. He wasn't from, but he had lost his wife, I think, and he was saying Kaddish because that's what you do after a person is Mifta, right? And then he found out, I think, as he told him what it meant, that it's a praise of joy and affection. He stopped saying it.
Because he was, he didn't want.
Because he was very sad.
Oh, because he was sad.
He didn't feel like praising Hashem at that time. He just thought it's probably some other, I don't know what he thought
it was. No one knows what it means.
Nobody knows what it means. Yeah. Nations, right?
It's like reading like super.
Right. Right. Last night I was at another chas in Brooklyn. This person, he's a rav of Young Israel Avenue K or J. He's also the head of the Beis Din in Holland. That's a pretty big trip. He goes once a month. And he was reading, it's a tough community. He was reading the ksuva, like explaining every single, not saying in English, but he was, the way he was saying it, you could almost, even if you don't understand the Aramaic, reading with meaning. Very good. I can see you're a teacher. Reading with meaning. We're going to make it happen. So he was able to do it. Most people don't know. The reason why they do that, by the way, is to break between the Kiddushin and the Chuppah. In the old days, they would make the Kiddushin, Harayat, they would make that, and then 2, 3, 6, 12 months later, they would have the Chuppah, this Kiddushin and Nisuin. Here, we do it all at one time. It's just more practical, but they have that as a break, so they call somebody.
It's more practical because if you break an engagement, they say it's worse than getting
a Right, if you, right, 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 right.
They don't have that official thing.
So that's why we all do it at one time, exactly.
When you break the plate?
No, by the Tanoim. There's a Tanoim, there's a Kedushin, and then there's an Asuin. So here, last lap, a minute or two left, because we're going to have another shiur soon. Even if you can't solve your problems, don't walk around contaminating everyone else. Isn't that great? I am miserable today. Who can I spread this germ of misery to? Let everybody else be miserable too. At the very least, don't make others miserable. You're miserable? Keep it to yourself. The joy of wisdom. Now we wrap it up. Wisdom is a great source of joy. With wisdom, we understand the world around us and our role in it. Judaism says that the essence of all joy is Torah. Why? Because Torah teaches us the meaning of life. It teaches us how to connect with Hashem, how to live according to Hashem's will. That's why on Tisha B'Av, the Jewish National Day of Mourning, you're not allowed to learn Torah. Why not? Because Torah is joy. The great Kabbalist Arizal said that joy opens the doors to great heights of wisdom. The more wisdom you gain, the happier your life will be. There is a natural joy in acquiring wisdom, even if you don't apply it. Why, people, what are we all learning it for? We're learning. You see, we're happy. We're happy when we learn.
Is Avel not allowed to learn?
Only, he's not. Only the halachas of Avel. Exactly. Beautiful. It is meaningful. You have broadened your existence. Beyond this, whenever you learn a piece of wisdom, figure out how it can enhance your life in a practical way. If you pick up a stone and see that it's a diamond, you'll be dancing down the street straight into the jewelers. But if you pick up a diamond and start playing marbles with it, it's going to end up in the trash heap. The sages, the chacham, use a stronger metaphor. They say learning Torah and forgetting is like burying a child. You have a lost piece of reality connection to eternity. So whatever wisdom you learn, review it, memorize it and keep it in front of you. Use it to achieve your loftiest goals, and when you need it, turn it on in the face of adversity. Make a joy list as a practical exercise. Take 10 minutes and write out a list of all the times you danced with joy. This is great, by the way. An outstanding athletic achievement. Meeting a long-lost friend. Think of a time that you were mom was so happy about something. Being discharged from the hospital after your serious illness. The birth of your first child. Now study your list. Go over your highlights of your life where you were happy. This is something we all have. Study your list. Identify the common denominator of what triggers joy. See why did I pick this vacation and this happening. You know, all of us will connect to a certain joy in our life. See what turned us on. By isolating the cause, you'll have a secret weapon to snap out of a negative mood. Examine your list to see what reflects true joy, what reflects illusion and hysteria. Find what expands your joy list. Ask others to describe the greatest joys. Here are the last six bullet points. Joy gives you power and energy. With joy, you'll knock the ball out of the park. It's natural to feel joy. It's human to overlook it. We overlook it all the time. Don't suffer your problems. I underline this. Solve them. Don't suffer. Solve them. Why wait until you're almost dead to appreciate how good life is? Through the will of Hashem, and you're connected to eternity.
I have one thing I would change.
Yes.
Where does it say? If you have a diamond, it'll, you know, play with a diamond, it'll end up in the garbage heap.